I want to talk about some things that I believe is going to be a great blessing to you. So I hope you have your Bibles. Now, if you don't have your Bibles, please go get your Bible, and either a Bible like I have here, or your tablet, or your cell phone, or however you read the Word of God, go ahead and get your Bibles, and also. Have yourself a notepad. I don't mind you taking notes when I minister. Praise God. Hallelujah. When you take notes, you can go back and study your notes and go back through the scriptures and reread them again. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you now for this time that we have together. Thank you, Father, for all those that are viewing online. This evening, Father God, and I pray that each and every one of them will have ears to hear and have a heart to receive your word here tonight, because your word will not return unto you void, but it will accomplish your will in this earth and in our lives as we receive it by faith and walk it out in our lives. We thank you, Father God. I call everyone that's watching tonight, I call them blessed, and may their hearts be open. And Father God, if there's any sick watching tonight, Father God, I pray that you would touch their bodies and bring healing to their bodies. Anyone that's hurting emotionally, or in any way, we want you to touch them tonight, Father God, and bring deliverance to them. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. All right. What I want you to do, I want you to turn in your Bibles first. Matter of fact, I want to first go to the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1, 2 Timothy chapter 1. So go ahead and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Hallelujah. And I'm going to begin this evening talking to you and sharing some things with you concerning test and trials. Test and trials. Talk about when things are uncomfortable, when things are out of the norm of what you're used to and how you are used to doing things. Sometimes that happens. And so how do we deal with it? You know, how do we get through it? Praise God. Now, I want to begin, though, with 2 Timothy chapter 1, beginning at verse 7. And first of all, before I read this, I want to tell you, I believe the Bible. I believe the Bible. The Bible is God's word, and I believe his word. I believe what he said. Praise God. And so in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, the word of God says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Let me read that to you again. "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Hallelujah. Now, notice something here. The Bible tells us what God has not given us first. It tells us what he hasn't given us first, and then it tells us what he has given us. And first, it tells us that he has not given us a spirit of fear. The spirit of fear. God has not given us the spirit of fear. God does not want his people living day by day, walking in fear. But what he has given us, what he has given us is power. What he has given us is love. What he has given us is a sound mind. A sound mind. Power, love, and a sound mind. So that means then if you are full of fear and timidity, I want to tell you something. That does not have to remain with you. I don't want anything that God did not give me. I don't want anything that God does not want me to have. Amen. So then if God does not want me to have fear, then that means when fear tried to come, I have the authority to resist it. Matter of fact, the Bible says resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Now, I want to tell you something. I want to tell you something. If God has not given us the spirit of fear, then God is not a creator, or God does not develop fear. Now, we are told to fear God, but that's holy reverence for God, holy love for God, holy honor for God, holy respect for God. That's not the fear that is talking about here in 2 Timothy 1:7. So if God has not given us the spirit of fear, then that means fear has to come from somewhere else other than God. And that is the devil. Yes, folks, there is a devil out there. And that's where fear comes from. As a matter of fact, I want you to turn in your Bible to the Gospel of John, chapter 14, the Gospel of John, chapter 14. And I want you to see what Jesus said. I want you to take a look at what Jesus said. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let me read this again. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you." He is the Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Hallelujah. Jesus is the giver of peace. Now, I want to move along a little further. I'm going to go over to the book of Philippians, chapter 4. And I hope you're writing these down. Philippians chapter 4, beginning at verse 6. It says, and I'm reading the King James Version of the Bible. It says, "Be careful for nothing." Be careful for nothing. Another way of saying that is be anxious for nothing. Don't be afraid of anything. Don't worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. If there's anything in your life, if there's anything going on around you that concerns you, you need to talk to God about it. Amen. You need to talk to God about it. I know we talk to one another and we counsel with one another and we encourage one another. All that is good. But you know, we need to always talk to God. Matter of fact, we need to talk to him first. Talk to him first. Don't worry about anything. Bring God in on the situation. Bring him in on the situation. Amen. This virus that's going on right now, we need to just bring God in on the situation. I want to let you know that this thing did not catch God by surprise. God did not look over at Jesus, or Jesus did not look over at the Father and say, whoa, I didn't see that coming. No, absolutely not. God never catches, nothing ever catches God by surprise. And next thing I want to tell you is God has a solution for every situation. He has a solution. There is a way out. I want to read verse 6 again, then we'll move on into verse 7. It says, be careful for nothing. Don't worry about nothing. Don't be anxious about anything. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And look at verse 7. And the peace of God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't understand everything about this virus that's going around. There's a whole lot that I don't know about it. But one thing I do know is God. I know him. And he's promised me peace that will pass all understanding. Let me read it to you. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Folks, I love the Word of God. I love the Word of God. The Word of God brings peace in troubled times. The Word of God brings peace when you don't understand what's going on around you. The Word of God brings peace when you're hearing bad reports all the time. The Word of God brings peace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why are we told not to worry? Why are we told that God has not given us the spirit of fear? Well, I want to show you something. Turn in your Bibles to the first epistle of John, chapter 4. The first epistle of John. In other words, 1 John, chapter 4. 1 John, chapter 4. And I'll begin reading at verse 18. It says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Because he, let me back up and read that again. Verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. One of the reasons that God tells us in his word not to fear is because fear has torment. Fear will torment your mind. Fear will drive you crazy if you allow it to do so. Fear will cause you to make bad decisions. Amen. Fear has torment. Every one of us have experienced fear at some point in their lives. And I think you can witness with me that it wasn't comfortable. It was tormenting. Fear says, I don't know what to do. Fear says, I have no answer for what I'm facing in my life. That's what fear says. And that is tormenting. That's tormenting. I share here at the church sometime with the people here at the church that I've been driving and there'll be a little squirrel that will attempt to cross the road. And they'll have plenty of time to cross the road to get to the other side. But about halfway in, about the middle of the road, and sometime a little bit further than that, they'll stop and they'll rethink that thing. And you'll see them, they'll go this way, and then they'll go that way, and then they'll go, and now they're undecided. They're panicking now. They don't know which way to go. They don't know which way is the safe way. So guess what? Many of them get killed. Many of them get run over because they were tormented by fear and it caused them to panic. Let me tell you something. When fear try to come into your life, go back to the Word of God and begin to read His promises that He has given us. Do what the Bible says in Philippians chapter 4. Begin to talk to the Lord about your situation. Petition Him. Let Him know what you need. Let Him know what you want Him to do for you. And don't allow yourself to be tormented by fear, because fear is tormenting. But I like what it says here. I want to read verse 18 to you again. It says, there is no fear in love. There is no fear in love. You know, we are afraid when we believe that God is not big enough to take care of us. But we got to understand something. The Bible wants us to know, God wants us to know that He loves us. For God so loved the world. This is the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish, but have have everlasting life. In John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world. If someone loves me, then he's going to take care of me. I'm trusting God for heaven one day. I'm trusting Him for heaven one day. And I have all confidence that I'm going one day because of His love. I'm not going to hell. I say that with confidence because I trust what God told me. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe on Him, I believe on Him, would not perish. Well, because I believe on Him, I'm not going to perish. I have everlasting life. So I'm not tormented every day wondering if I'm saved or not. Oh, my Lord, am I saved? Am I going to heaven or am I going to hell? Oh, dear God, I don't know. I want to tell you something. Years ago, a lot of years ago, I've experienced that torment. I've experienced, and it is tormenting. And some of you that's watching me tonight, you have experienced that. And maybe not in the same way I did, but you have experienced that type of torment. And it is rough, but God says, trust me, look to me, stand on my word, talk with me, spend some time with me. You know you can't have your petitions and supplications and all of that without actually spending some time with God. You've got to spend some time with God. And I know in the time that we're living in now, it seems like everybody is busy. But folks, we got to make sure that we don't get too busy to spend time with God. Amen. Hallelujah. We got to spend time with God. So I want to read verse 18 again. It said, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear has torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. He that feareth, he that walks and lives in fear, is not totally confident that God loves him or her. They are not totally confident that God's going to take care of them. And anytime you're not totally confident in him, there is a degree of torment that is there that's going to nag at you and nag at you and nag at you and nag at you. But you need to tell yourself, God loves me. I am a child of God. He loves me. And God's going to take good care of me. I don't understand everything that's going on, but I know God loves me, and I'm going to keep my hand in his hand, and I'm going to trust him, and I'm going to be at peace and not tormented, because I know my God loves me. One of the first songs I learned when I went to school, a lot of years ago, was Jesus Loves Me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me. This I know. Well, how do you know that, Jane? For the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. I belong to him. I am weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Because I know that, because I'm assured of that, I do not have to live a life of torment, wondering, oh dear God, what's going to happen to me? What's going to happen to me? Just know that he loves you. Jesus loves you. Hallelujah. I want you to turn to the book of Psalms with me. I'm not going to be before you much longer, but I want you to turn in your Bibles to the 46th Psalm, Psalm 46. Psalm 46. And I'm trying to get there too. Psalm 46. Verse 1. God is. I can't hear you, but I want you to say it. Say, God is. Say it again. Say, God is. Okay. All right. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Hallelujah. God is a very present help when there's a coronavirus going around. God is a very present help in the time of trouble. He is my refuge. He is my strength. He is present with me to help me, and you too. Verse 2, therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. In other words, the writer is saying, even if there's a great earthquake, I'm not going to fear, because God is my refuge, God is my strength, God is a very present help in trouble. Verse 3, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. And he goes on, and we won't read the whole thing. But he says, I will not fear. But in order not to fear, you're going to have to be focused on someone, and that someone is the Lord Jesus Christ. When you keep your eyes on him and refuse to look to the right or to the left, but stay focused on him, you will walk in victory and not in fear. Hallelujah. When Jesus sent the disciples over to the other side and they ran into the storm and the boat began to take on water, and they were very afraid. They were very afraid. They thought they were all going to die. Of course, Jesus was in the back end of the boat and he was asleep. And so they rushed back to Jesus, woke him up, and said, Master, don't you even care if we perish? Now, at that point, they weren't that respectful to Jesus. They were very upset. Master, 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 don't you care? We all going to perish here. You sleeping, and we perishing. Don't you care, Lord? What did he do? Jesus got up. First, he rebuked them for having a lack of faith and allowing fear to creep in. And like I told you before, anytime fear creep in, then panic began to creep in, take over. They were panicking. And Jesus had to calm them down. He had to calm them down. And he said, oh, ye of little faith. And then he rebuked the storm. And the wind ceased. The sea became calm. They didn't have to fear. But they did, because they was looking at everything going on around them. But Jesus rebuked them for their lack of faith. In other words, they need to do some more faith work. And that's what you and I have to do every day of our lives. We have to build our faith. We have to make sure that we do those things that's going to cause our faith to increase on a daily basis. And one of those things is to keep our eyes in God's word. The Bible tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Let me point out to you something that it didn't say. It didn't say faith comes by having heard. It says faith comes by hearing. So we have to continually hear God's word and get that word on the inside of us. We have too many other things in there sometimes. You know, I like sports. I like to watch the NFL. That's about the only one I watch, but I do watch the NFL some. But you know what? I make sure that the NFL stays in its place. It can never take the place of Jesus. Amen. Football cannot keep me out of hell. Football cannot get me to heaven. Jesus can. Entertainment is fine. Pure entertainment, decent entertainment is fine. But you can't let that stuff control you. You can't get so into it that you're thinking football or basketball or whatever every day. You're thinking. That's what's on your mind. That's what's branded on your brain. No. It's got to be the word of God. And I've resolved the issue. If I never see another football game, I'll be just fine. Is there any amens out there anywhere? And I mean, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And I like to watch football, but if I never see another football game, never watch another football game again, I'm going to be just fine because I keep football in its proper place. But I've got to have the Word of God on a daily basis. I've got to walk with Jesus every day of my life. I've got to talk with Him every day. Hallelujah. Because one day football will be no more. But Jesus is forever. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. I'm going to give you one more scripture reference, and then I'm going to quit for tonight. I want you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. And I know most likely we have our church that's online with us tonight, and I'm glad you are here. But most likely we have some other guests with us too, and I welcome you. I'm glad you're here with us. And you may be dealing with some things. You may be afraid. Maybe it's not the coronavirus, but maybe there's something else that's bothering you. I want to leave this verse of scripture with you. 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning at verse 7. It says, casting. Well, let me back up to verse 6. I'll back up to verse 6. It says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. I like that. He said, casting all of your care upon him because he cares for you. I'm so glad he didn't say, cast some of your cares, I'll take some of them. That's not what he said. He says, cast all your care upon me because I care for you. You got to know God cares for you. God loves you. I believe it's the Amplified Bible says, cast the whole of your care upon him because he cares for you watchfully. He cares for you watchfully. Be sober, be vigilant. This is verse 8. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Verse 9, whom resist steadfast in the faith, in the faith. Now, I want to say this to you. Faith and worry are complete opposites. If you are worried, you are not in faith. If you are in fear, you are not in faith. But the Word of God tells us to resist the devil and remain steadfast in the faith. And knowing this, that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. It doesn't matter what you're going through right now. You're not the only one that's ever dealt with it. But stay in faith. Get God's word in your mouth. Begin to speak God's word. Begin to speak about the solution. Talk about the solution and not the problem. Amen. Praise God. I didn't finish what I intended to share with you tonight, but we can always finish it at a later time. But I want to ask you a question. Do you know this Jesus Christ that I'm preaching about here this evening? Do you know him as your Lord and as your Savior? Jesus came and died for you. And he wants to walk you through this coronavirus situation, or you may be dealing with something else entirely different. Maybe there's a situation going on in your life. Jesus wants to be there with you. He wants to help you. He wants to lead you. He wants to guide you. Why? Because he loves you. That's the reason he came down from heaven, lived here in this earth, was crucified on Calvary's cross, was buried, but he rose again on the third day. He's now at the right hand of God the Father. He did all of this because he loves you. And I'm convinced that if you had been the only one that needed Jesus, if you had been the only one that had some issues, had some problems, if you had been the only one that was hurting, Jesus would have still come and died for you. He would have still come and suffered for you, because he loves you that much. If you're not born again, I want to give you an opportunity to receive Jesus Christ into your heart as your Lord and Savior. He will receive you now. He will forgive you for your past, and he will give you a brand new life. Pray with me right now. Say, Lord Jesus, I give you my life. I've made a mess of it, so I give it to you, Lord. Fix me. Help me. I invite you into my life, Jesus, to be my Lord and my Savior, to walk with me every day of my life. Forgive me, Lord Jesus, for all of my sins. I receive you now, Lord. I receive you as my Lord. And thank you, Lord, for saving me and for setting me free. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Just receive him by faith right now. It's not by feelings, it's by faith. Just receive him by faith right now. He loves you, and he's ready to change your life. Hallelujah. Now, if you receive Jesus Christ into your heart as your Lord and Savior, you are born again. You are now a child of God. Hallelujah. And if you did that, I would like for you to write us and let us know. You can write us at Word of Life, Fellowship Church, Post Office Box 400, Cheraw, Cheraw, South Carolina, 29520. You gave your life to Jesus Christ, we would like to hear from you. So drop us a line and let us know what Jesus has done for you. And you can also call the church 843-537-4522. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Also, before I go, if you are sick in your body, I would like to pray for you right now. Just stretch your hands, or either, if it's possible, if you just touch where you're sick, where you're hurt, or whatever, if that's possible. If not, just lift your hands to the Lord. Heavenly Father, right now, you can see where I cannot see. But Father, we ask you right now in the name of Jesus to touch every person that is sick tonight as they reach out to you in faith. Touch their bodies, Father God, and set them free. Bring healing to them in the mighty name of Jesus. He is Jesus, our healer. He is Jesus, our deliverer. Father, if they are bound by anything, drugs, alcohol, or whatever, pornography, or whatever it may be, they're in bondage, I ask you, Father, to set them free right now as they reach out to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you, and we give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, word of life. Love you guys so much. I'm missing you right now. I'm here at the church. I'm looking at empty seats. But I'm comforted in knowing that that's a temporary situation. And we'll all be back together again. And once again, I want to say to our guests who have also joined in with us, love you so much. God bless you. And I want to say to every one of you, have yourself a blessed night in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah.